It's a Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. Susie Sunshine is here. Susan Schmidt from Westwood in Dallas. Every time I turn on my radio, I'm hearing
her. Hearing her voice. You're very busy. Yeah, big week. A lot to talk about.
Yes, that is true. And as an analyst of all things economic here, The Dow did not take the bath everybody thought it was going to take this week.
No, quite the opposite, which was...
Now let's go back and explain what some of those factors were.
Well, everyone did think that, you know, usually the market hates surprises, and this could be a negative outcome. And instead, it went the other way. So with the Trump win, no one expected that. But what we did see was the first time we've seen the House of Representatives, the Senate, and the presidency all under the same party. So that's a new development. We haven't seen that in past years. And the markets take that positively because we've had such gridlock in Washington. We haven't been able to get things done. And then all the sound bites that came out from Trump after the election were all things the market loves to hear. So he talked about corporate tax reform, lowering taxes, a big infrastructure spend, spending with the government. So we talk about spending fiscal policy. And all of those are panacea to business. They're very good for business. They promote growth. And so the market leapt on that and really propelled the market forward. So we've seen that ride out. Today, the market closed basically flat. We saw the biggest moves, you know, the initial 2 days after the election. Today, it seems to have settled down. But we did see some aggressive moves in the stock market.
Very, it's like a calm day after 2 days. We're ending the Dow, the biggest weekly gain since 2011. This is huge. Is this the kind of thing that because of those factors you just described, really could hold?
And well, now with the Dow especially, we're at those levels because the Dow is more industrial, transportation-related companies. When we talk about infrastructure spend, we're talking about industrial companies. We're talking about building roads, repairing bridges. Trump's big thing is, you know, bringing manufacturing back here onto U.S. turf. So all those things are good for industrial companies. The Dow, with only 30 stocks in it, that really benefited because you saw a lot of those stocks surge disproportionately. At the same time, the S&P is near all-time highs, and that's just general market lift. What we didn't see today slow down at all, so what still was moving and up 2.5% was smaller companies. The Russell 2000 was still up aggressively today, and that didn't react as
much. And the Russell 2000 is 2,000 smaller and mid-cap?
Yes, so it's the smaller size companies in the market, whereas the S&P 500 are the really big guys. These are the other end of the scale. These are the smaller ones, and you saw them really surge, and that's because they're domestically focused. People are thinking that lower tax rates really make a difference for small companies. And so they're a huge beneficiary of that. And then they're also more domestically focused with all the stimulus and all this expected growth. That's good for U.S. business. So we saw that index follow through today.
Now, there's been talk about who the Treasury Secretary is going to be. Obviously, they're right now, you know, these first five, 6 days of a new administration getting its team together, the major cabinet positions, a lot of people are jockeying for position here.
Right.
Is there any indication, because I know there was talk that Jamie Dimon, who's a banker, a major banker, was going to be up for Carl Icahn, potentially was going to be
Wilbur
up for
Ross was mentioned at one point. So a hedge fund guy out of New York was mentioned. A lot of names have been bandied about for this. There's no clarity on who he's going to go with. Jamie Dimon came out and said he didn't think he would be well suited for the job. And I think all of J.P. Morgan's shareholders breathed a sigh of relief because he is very good at running that company.
And that's a big, scary place to run, isn't
that
it?
That is a very large global enterprise. Right. And so it would be very hard to pull him out. And even though he's got very strong lieutenants, that would be a shock to the market. But there's no clear direction here. And that's, I think, what the market is going to settle in on and start paying attention to. The initial sound bites, all surface level, which is what we've seen throughout the Trump campaign, the surface level sound bites sound really good. It's things the market wants to hear. But we don't have any substance or layering behind that yet. So once the market starts to watch this trickle down and we see a little bit more meat behind it, then I think the market is going to take this all in stride and react perhaps a little more rationally.
Let's talk about the trade agreements, which were so front and center in this election. The news came out today that they're going to put on hold the TPP, all but pretty much Obama saying, we're not going to move forward with this. You know, this is up to Donald Trump. Trump has told people he's not in favor of this. He's not in favor of NAFTA either. He wants to renegotiate it, rip it up. What kind of impact is this going to have on our economy and ultimately the markets?
Well, trade is the one area where people are still very concerned. We haven't had any additional clarity there. We only know that Trump is very protectionist towards our borders. He wants to get rid of the majority of the trade agreements out there that he deems are unfair, and that's the majority of them. He feels that, you know, these things should be renegotiated, relooked at. He, in office with executive powers, he is able to execute tariffs, import duties on other countries' goods. So for the market looking at this, it's still very unclear. It's still an area of questioning and uncertainty. And countries who are manufacturing overseas and bringing things back, those companies might get some pressure because their operating costs, their manufacturing costs are going to go up if the goods that they have to import become more expensive. So it's still, that's a TBD. We do not know. And you've seen that when you see what worked in the market and what didn't. What's really run has been domestic-focused companies, construction, defense. Mm-hmm. The defense companies all had a big run because we know he's very keen on that.
Financials did well, too.
Financials have done very well. Financials have done well because the interest rate has moved. With all this spend, people are expecting that there might be some inflation. So we've had deflation effectively the last couple of years. Costs haven't really gone up. So now people are thinking, well, with all this spend, maybe the price of things will start to creep up because there'll be more demand. And as that happens, then interest rates have reflected that. So now the 10-year, we've talked about this in recent months. We've talked about the 10-year yield being 1.6%. Today it closed at 2.14%. That's a huge move.
That's a big move.
Big move.
But that's going to affect whether you want to buy a house or a car or anything. If you're going to get financing on something,
you're going to get financing off of this increased rate now. Now remember that if we went back 10 years, you were financing at 6 or 7%. So the fact that this, you know, now we've gone from, say, a 4% base to a little over 2% base, you're still significantly lower than you were.
But yes, but we don't like change.
We don't like change. And relative to where we've been in the last couple of years, where interest rates have been so low, then this is a step up.
Well, is there concern about the fact that I know that conservatives and Republicans, by extension, have complained about the debt, national debt, for years and years and years and years and years. And the national debt has continued to grow regardless of who the president has been, essentially. And interestingly enough, the only time it really slowed down was during Bill Clinton. Right? I mean, was, you know, a great irony. Mm-hmm. But the fact is that there's no question that given what Donald Trump has told us he wishes to do, it's an expensive proposition in the short term. Now, does it pay for itself eventually with growth and all of that? I mean, that's how they did it in the 90s.
Right.
The question is, will that happen?
We don't
but in
know.
The meantime, does the market get spooked by the fact that we're going to cross that $20 trillion and keep moving?
Right now, the market seems to be embracing the fact that we're going to be spending, because the complaint of the market has been that we've seen too much regulation. So another big reason that banks are benefiting from this is we've got a difference between the front end and the back end. So near-term rates and long-term rates on interest rates. When there's a bigger difference, banks make money off of that difference. So the bigger the difference, the more profitable banks can operate. And there's been a lot of regulation around banks. So Trump's talked about taking the regulation off.
It's Dodd-Frank,
yes.
Right?
So repealing Dodd-Frank, which is legislation that went into place in 2010, post the Great Recession. Mm-hmm. That's the most regulatory reform we've put on our financial institutions since we came out of the Great Depression.
Since Smoot-Hawley, right?
Since the Smoot-Hawley Act.
Thank you very much.
Good history.
Great.
Thank you very much.
Very impressive.
And it really was just to moderate an oversight. But banks have been in a stranglehold. Our financial community has really gotten so burdened with oversight. Operating costs have ballooned. And so we've got this interest rate spread now looking to be more profitable for the banks, where it's easier for them to operate. We think regulation is coming down. So the market's embracing that. And the market's looking at this on a very short-term basis and saying right now the sound bites say growth, support for the economy, because we've been clamoring for fiscal spend, so that's government spend, the last 18, 24 months. We're finally perhaps getting an administration which is indicating they're willing to do that. And with Congress set up the way it is, we can push that through. So all of that is positive. The market is not thinking about long-term debt at this point. They're thinking about getting the economy going and moving forward. Interestingly, they're also not thinking about the Fed meeting that's coming up in December, which they've completely forgotten about in the excitement of the election.
Does a Donald Trump presidency change that at all, the idea that rate there was sort of a built-in belief that
there
it would
a,
be
there
popped
is a
up just a little bit.
Built-in belief that there's going to be a little bit of a pop-up in rates, that she's going to add Janet Yellen, chairman of the Fed, will come out and announce that she's going to increase the Federal Reserve funds by 25 bips. That's still largely expected to happen. What happens next year, we're not sure yet.
All right. Susan Schmidt, stand by. Right, 1 second here. Big question for... There's going to be an event on Sunday that could move the markets on Monday. We will talk about that event coming up with Susan. But first, Violetta, WGN Traffic Control Spot. Breadman! Although we scream Breadman at him and he doesn't understand a word of what we're saying.
It still works.
Yeah. All right. Let's see here. We got Susan Smith with us. Susan Schmidt. Susan Smith is not with us, as it turns out. No,
different.
That was a different.
Entirely different person.
Totally different story. Mm-hmm. Susan Schmidt is with us.
There we go.
From Westwood in Dallas. And all right, now, we were talking about how the Trump election is affecting the markets. This question I have for you right now. Sunday night, 6:30-ish, Chicago time, Donald Trump sits... Before the cameras, it's 60 Minutes.
Right, in front of thousands, millions.
Tens of millions will watch that. It'll be the highest rated 60 Minutes in years. If he acts goofy, does the market react?
Yes.
If he acts like an adult, will the market go up?
The whole premise of the increase and, you know, the run we've seen in the markets just the last couple of days was, remember that we had 2 weeks coming into voting the prior 2 weeks where the market was flat or down. The market has been in a tight trading range since the middle of the summer. It's really ignored everything else. It's been sort of stuck here waiting, and then all this election noise has distracted it and taken the attention of all the traders. Now that the election's over, part of this is also a relief rally. Thank goodness it's behind us. And the excitement is all positioned on sounds of tax reform, tax reduction, government
things that the market is going to like.
So all things that the market is going to like.
So more money available for them to
very logical and very sensible in the thought that they'll get it together. However, if that gets derailed, or there's a sign now that, wait a minute, that the White House is going to be fighting with Congress, these things won't get pushed through, then that's a whole other story, and we have a whole other sentiment taking over next week.
So if his behavior turns into one that is goofy, where the government may not want to stand beside him on this, that's what people have to be on the lookout for.
Yes, that's correct. We really are thinking everyone's going to get along here.
Okay. Well, when will that start, I guess, is the question. All right. Susan Schmidt from Westwood in Dallas. Thank you very much. She's known as Susie Sunshine, and she counts our money. Normally here an hour earlier. Now she's here just in time for the Knarble Wagon. Oh, imagine that.